This is the Science Behind the Art, where we discuss the insights of the cosmetic industry through a different lens, uniting scientists and artists. We are the New York Society of Cosmetic Chemists. I'm Maria.
I'm Regina.
And I'm Leah. Join us as we embrace beauty and dive behind the scenes of the cosmetic industry.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for listening to the podcast of The Science Behind the Art. Today, we will talk about the world of color with Stacey House. Hi, Stacey.
Hi, Regina. Thank you so much for having me on. I'm really looking forward to talking to you today.
We're super looking forward to hearing from you today. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Absolutely. I'm Stacey House. I am currently the Vice President of R&D and Regulatory at KDC1. This is for our beauty and personal care division, which is on the East Coast, and it includes AccuPath, ChemAid, and the Innovation Lab, as well as Colmar. My team is focused on developing elevated and high-touch formulas and categories spanning the personal care industry. I have a really incredibly talented team of chemists. I'm just so proud to be part of that team. Previously, I was the director of R&D at Manna, and prior to that, I was at Kobo Products, which is a supplier, and I was director of applications there. I also had an opportunity to work at Coty and Revlon in their R&D labs. I hold a patent on low viscosity phenyl trimethicone applications. I have also written several published industry articles. I graduated from Northeastern University with MBAs in operations, supply chain, and international business. And prior to that, I received my bachelor's degree at Rutgers University, New Brunswick.
Stacey, that's amazing. Just listening to your introduction is so interesting. How did you get where you are today?
You know, I've had some really incredible mentors that have really helped to guide me along the way. You know, even today, when I look at my bosses at KDC, they continuously provide me with inspiration and just really help me and offer guidance in terms of, you know, my path forward. When I look back, it's really interesting. And, you know, I mentioned about mentors. It is due to my biology teacher in high school that I even was able to get into the cosmetics industry. There was a program offered through Revlon at the time, and they were looking for high school students to participate in just a really, you know, fantastic program that had insight into each of the different areas within Revlon. So with that, I was able to experience pilot, analytical, micro. I helped with nail, fragrance. I mean, you named it. They allowed me to be part of it and to really engage with the team. After that, I was asked to come back as an intern, and I did that for a number of years, including while I was, you know, going to school at Rutgers. I was also, you know, working full-time for Revlon as an intern. So, you know, I have to say that it's because of that that really helped to build my platform. You know, it was a strong foundation for me to understand what the industry had to offer, and that your learning is endless. I mean, if you want to apply yourself, I mean, there's just so much knowledge available, whether it's through people or through publications or just experiencing the products yourself. So it's really because of that, you know, I stayed within the industry.
That's amazing. You know, you mentioned that you worked at KDC1. What does your typical day look like when you come into work?
Okay. Well, I'm an early riser. So I take the opportunity to, you know, wake up a few hours early, you know, really for myself, you know, so this way I'm able to just go outside, you know, for a run, exercise, meditate. And I do that before I open up my laptop every day, because I know that once I open up the laptop or I get into the lab, that my day is going to be consisting of meetings, working with the team in the lab. And I go to, you know, I try to go to all of the labs every week. So I'm all over the place, but I'm here to serve, you know, our people, our customers, the company overall, and just trying to see how I'm able to continue to inspire and drive our business.
That sounds awesome. How would you describe color in the personal care field?
Great question. Oh my goodness. You know, I see color in the personal care field as all about, you know, creativity and inspiring that creativity and driving the passion, you know, giving people endless opportunities to be able to express themselves. And we're able to do that, whether it's through a lipstick, you know, lip gloss, eyeshadow, even for complexion products. It's really about giving people the tools to be able to define themselves and to see where they want to push that envelope. I just think it's so inspiring, you know, and even for myself, you know, my favorite color cosmetic of all time is a red lipstick. And it's about what does that invoke for me? And that's the way that I see it as for our consumers as well. When you're buying that lipstick, what does it mean to you? What does that translate? And, you know, sometimes it's about thinking of beautiful red shoes or a certain outfit, just the way that it makes you feel. So it's just about how does it connect? That's really how I see color in the personal care field.
Definitely. I definitely know a couple of people that absolutely love red lipstick. So I'm in that red lipstick club. So I totally get what you're saying. Which is your favorite.
Which is obviously my favorite. Yeah. Yeah, but you know, you want to make sure, especially while we're wearing masks, that you don't want it to be smudging. You know, you don't want to look like you ate your lipstick. So, you know, making sure that you have that wear, which is hard. You know, I mean, I think that we are finding more and more limitations when it comes to developing, you know, to a lot of these, you know, restriction lists. But it's important because we need to be able to continue to understand how are we able to, you know, address, you know, these very important concerns while still giving you, you know, and our customers high performance products, you know, that this way you don't have to keep looking in that mirror, that you know that they're going to, you know, stay true and, you know, be as beautiful and in place as when you first applied it.
Definitely. I don't know, you probably do know because you love lipstick, but Bite Cosmetics in New York City, they have, they allow you to make your own color.
Which is awesome. I mean, seriously, I love their formulas, but just the fact that they get to do that. And, you know, I don't remember what the name of the company was, but many years ago, there was this small brand and they used to do that. People used to line up just to mix their own colors. I mean, people want to be able to have that creative license, you know? So to be able to do it and get paid for it, it's pretty cool.
It's really awesome. So I just resonated with that. And I was like, that was one of the most funnest times of my life. Picking my own shade.
Exactly. What is your favorite shade of lipstick?
So I actually don't really have lips. Like my top lip is almost gone basically. So I've never really experimented with lipstick, but I actually like really weird colors. So one I have is from Kat Von D and it's called Edgar Allan Poe. I don't know if you're aware of that one.
I do know about Edgar Allan Poe. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. So it's like this black, blue, glittery type. I do find it a little drying, but there's also glitter in it. So I'm assuming, again, I don't know anything about formulations, but I'm assuming that the glitter kind of maybe dries the formulation a little bit. And you do kind of have to reapply it because it gets dry. But that color I think is just really like special. And then I do love red as well. And my favorite red was also, I think Pat McGraw. Yes. I don't remember the name because I got it as a gift. But she had like three lipsticks that were, like shades of red and they were just like the smoothest formula, and really flattering. So that one, and then I used to, you know, back in the day, use Kat Von D's Underage Red.
That's cool.
Yeah, I think that her formulations, I don't, again, really use lipstick as much anymore, which I should because you're inspiring me. I used to wear Underage Red, and then Lolita 1 and 2 were also my favorites, the kind of neuter color.
That's awesome. But, you know, it's funny when you said about Edgar Allan Poe, so... for my wedding, I didn't wear red. I wore that a black, you know, just like that. But it was more like a raspberry, I guess like a black raspberry. Ooh. And it was so like stunning. And, you know, I'm obsessed. So yeah, that is the only other shade that I'll go for if I'm not going to do red.
I feel like black, just I think people like don't gravitate towards it, but I think it really does flatter some people. I don't know. Sometimes.
I you know what? I think that people are intimidated by it, but at the same time, once they apply it, they realize it's just so neat, you know, and the color effect, and it's very flattering for so many skin tones, you know, so that's why it's like, I wish that people would just try it a little bit more, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, with the color field, what is something new you'd like to see in this color field specifically?
So I've thought about this a lot, you know, and I'm glad you're asking me this question.
So when I look at what we have to work with in terms of pigments in the color platform, we are limited. And especially when you do see, you know, the very important push for cruelty-free, as well as, you know, when it comes to having these inclusive shades, it would be great to have more options available to us, especially within the natural realm. So I look forward to, you know, having those as FDA compliant pigments, also to be able to utilize those in different areas of for applications for color. I think that that would really help to expand and, you know, create more innovation in just an incredible and impactful, you know, category.
Definitely. I'm seeing a lot of companies gravitate towards that and promoting the cruelty-free with animals. So I think that's definitely a change that we're seeing in this day and age. So that's really wonderful to see. Just wondering, like, what color is something that you'd love to see in the color field?
A beautiful hot pink that has blue tones that's going to complement every skin color and just look gorgeous on everyone, and that you'd be able to use it, you know, on lips, but also on eyes as well. You know, I think that would really just be so impactful.
Yeah. You know, I'm starting to see a couple of products in the market kind of be dual purpose. So if it's a lipstick, it can also be a blush, or if it's a shimmer highlighter, it can also be an eyeshadow. So I think that'd be really awesome.
Yes, absolutely. You know, but it's also about the regulations, you know, in terms of having pigments that can be used in both the eye and also the lip area. And, you know, so that's also something I just want to throw into that mix, because if we're able to do that, I think that the opportunities would be limitless.
Definitely. I super agree with you. Where did your love of color stem from?
So it's actually a really funny story. It's from my mother. When I was 2 years old, I decided it would be a great idea to take her mascara and lock myself in the bathroom. We lived in an apartment building in Brooklyn at the time, and I painted myself on the walls with black mascara. It was jet black and it was beautiful. And I remember it so well. And, you know, I think my parents do too, because a firefighter had to actually come through a window to get me out.
Wow.
I couldn't even imagine what they probably were thinking when they see this child. You know, it was really just from being able to watch my mom, you know, apply her makeup, her interest in it, going to the store with her, and, you know, just living it through her experience. And that also helped me to be able to see, you know, how I translated that into my own perspective. And also with hair, I mean, I can't even begin to tell you how many times I would concoct, you know, different mixtures from, you know, just my parents' kitchen and put it on my sister's hair. And, you know, what I ended up doing is actually using some of that information for a science fair. But, you know, it's because of the support that I had, whether it was through my mom, my parents, grandmother, or any of the mentors, you know, that I've had, they've allowed me to, you know, have that type of exploration within this field. And that, I think, gave me my love for it.
Yeah, you know, you brought up your mom and her mascara. Was she also a big cosmetic fan?
Oh, yes. She loves cosmetics. She loves to try pretty much anything that I would send her way to experiment. She's a good sounding board.
Do you recommend her products now?
I do. Absolutely. And, you know, she doesn't always take my suggestions. That's okay.
Do you see her potentially if you make that bright pink lipstick, and would you see her potentially wearing that in the future?
Everyone's gonna wear it. Are you
I hope so. I would definitely be excited for that.
Yeah.
And Stacey, you know, what would be your advice to our viewers who want to get into the color field?
Wow, that is such a good question. I would definitely recommend getting out there, you know, experiencing products. Look at the ingredient listing on each of those products and try to understand, you know, what is the synergy behind that formula? What makes it special? Also, just really taking the time to do a deep dive, understanding, you know, regulations, you know, arming yourself with as much knowledge as possible, but make sure that you're also experiencing the benefits of these products and what makes them so unique.
That sounds great, Stacey. And in your experience, what color is like the hardest to formulate?
You know, I would have to tell you it depends on the product form itself. You know, for an eyeshadow, I would tell you achieving a matte black is probably going to be the hardest because you have to find the right balance of your pigments and your base. So this way your formula doesn't glaze, but you also don't want it to be, you know, smudging all over the place. You know, you want to be able to have that performance aspect. For lipsticks, it's about having high, intense pigments for a red, beautiful shade. And the reason that I'm saying that is because, you know, here too, it goes with balance, but, you know, there's a level of saturation that comes in these formulations. And, you know, you get to a point that even though you can keep on loading it with these pigments, it doesn't mean that it's going to perform the way that you would expect to have that glide upon application. It's really a whole package. And that's why I'm saying there's so much more to it. And it really does come down to that balance, you know, the balancing piece. So I would probably say those two products.
And there are challenges when it comes to the formulation side of it, in regards to, you know, being able to have a high intensity, you know, color payoff, where you also are making sure that you have, you know, a pleasurable experience with the performance and that initial payoff. You know, so it's a very thin line to making sure that you have, you know, intense color, you know, deposit, but also to have that glide, you know, because there's, you know, for me, I think that they go hand in hand, you know, and so it is definitely important to make sure that you have, you know, the right, you know, balance. But, you know, when you think about it, there are so many technological advances available to us, whether it's for processing, where we can actually modify the particle size. So this way you are able to have a higher pigment loading into your lipstick. So you, you know, are able to, you know, have that high coverage, you know, bold, you know, lush lip look, or, you know, when it comes to even for eyeshadow. You know, you want to be able to have that, you know, flexibility in your formulation to have a range, whether it's going from, you know, more of a sheer, you know, everyday appearance to, you know, more of a high impact color or, you know, for glitters, you know, and you want to be able to make sure that that performance, the wear is there. So it's how do you tie in, you know, these other, you know, I'm not going to say less glamorous because they are, you know, incredibly important, you know, elements to your formulation, but it's how do you have that balance and still be able to have, you know, your color, you know, stay true and perform.
Definitely. Really well said. Thanks, Stacey.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for being on our podcast. This was wonderful. So much great insight that we got. And the world of color is just so interesting and so broad and so open to definition and beauty. So thanks so much for being on our podcast.
Thank you so much for having me on. This was really enjoyable. I look forward to, you know, hearing more of your podcast. So thank you so much.
Like what you heard? The NYSCC is here to move cosmetic science forward. Stay tuned to our next episodes and visit nyscc.org for more content.
Hey, Susanna Fernandez here, this year's NYSCC's chair. Don't forget about Suppliers Days, Beauty's main event for innovation in ingredients and formulation taking place on November 10th and 11th at the Javits Center in New York City. There will also be a virtual day on Friday, November 12th to make it accessible for everyone in the industry. We look forward to seeing you there. Visit us at nysec.org/suppliersday today.